Well, I had everything ready for two services today. I mean, I was ready. Ready for this morning, ready for tonight. Got up and we had snow on the ground. So the Lord kind of rearranged things. Having an exodus, I don't know. They're coming out of Egypt or where? But I'm glad the Lord knows what He's doing. He's never made a mistake.
Amen.
And it's beyond Him to make mistakes.
Amen.
Everything He does is right, and He's the one that ordered the snow. I didn't.
Amen.
I can't make it snow, and I certainly can't make it stop snowing.
Amen.
And I can't make it rain, but I tell you what we can do. We can make it rain.
Amen.
You'll catch that after a while with slow praise. I'm talking about a little of that latter rain.
Amen.
Get our hearts right with God, we can have some of that latter rain.
Amen.
I'll assure you of that. I want you to turn your Bibles this afternoon to the book of 1 Peter. If I say this morning a half a dozen times, you'll have to forgive me for that. I'm about as used to the afternoon time here as what you are. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I've got a great deal of reading that I want to do this afternoon and make a few comments as I go along the way, then come to the message, and I hope that you'll bear with me. The Bible says in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of
Amen.
God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope
Amen.
By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your salvation, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Now let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this afternoon and for the singing. I'm certainly thankful, Lord, for how you spoke to my heart in the Sunday school hour today. I rejoice in the little nugget, Lord, that you shared with me this morning, this afternoon. And I pray that you'd open up other hearts as well, that these that are here today might depart from this place saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord, that they might find help and strength for their life. And Lord, that the Holy Ghost of God might come in great power to revive us, that we might rejoice in Thee. Lord, how we need a stirring, how we need to hear from heaven. The words of man are vain except they be anointed by the Spirit of God. I pray that you unctionize me now in these next few moments. Give me the liberty and the power that I need to preach. Help me, Lord, to bring the message you've laid on my heart in an adequate manner to the people. Give them understanding. Help them to leave this place today saying it's been good to be here. May your precious name be glorified and honored in everything that is said and done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I'm calling our attention this afternoon to verse number 8 is where I'm going to be preaching from. And Brother Peter says here about the Lord Jesus Christ. He closes out in verse 7 speaking about the glory that is going to be at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 8 he says whom? Referring back to verse number 7. The Lord Jesus whom having not seen. And there's three things that Peter mentions here about you and I that have not seen the Lord, and yet these things have had an impact upon our life. And that is, number one, having not seen Him, yet we love Him. And having not seen Him, yet we believe in Him. And having not seen Him, and yet we rejoice in Him. I want to take this verse of Scripture, if I may, and preach for a little while this afternoon on the blessings of the unseen Christ. The blessings of the unseen Christ. This verse reminds me of the encounter that Thomas had with our Lord in the upper room. You'll remember on the first Sabbath day, or on the Sunday morning rather, our Lord rose from the grave and appeared to His disciples in the upper room that evening. And He showed to them His hands and His feet, and He ate with them, and He promised them peace, and so on and so forth. But the Bible said that Thomas was not among them.
Amen.
And the following week, Thomas being there, and the disciples had concurred to the fact that Christ had been there. Jesus had been in their midst.
Yeah.
Thomas said, except I see the print of the nail in His hands and thrust my fist into His side, he said, I will not believe. And here's what the Lord said to Thomas in chapter 20 of John and verse 29. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But he said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And so there's a blessing right there pronounced on you and I that are Christians today. We're blessed indeed having never seen the Lord and yet we believe in Him. Having never seen Him, and yet our hearts are full of His love and we love Him.
Amen.
Having never seen Him, and yet we can rejoice in Him.
Amen.
Now that's strange, but that's true.
Amen.
Now it begins by saying, having not seen Him, yet we love Him.
Yeah.
Let me say by way of introduction that love is born with faith. When a child of God is saved by God's grace, and faith is instilled into our heart, that love of God being shed abroad in our hearts begins to be builded upon that faith. And so the moment that we exercise faith in the Son of God, love is born in our heart for Him, because we have been regenerated by His marvelous Spirit and saved by His wonderful grace. Love is born with faith, and it begins to act with that faith. It grows by its means. That is, as our faith grows, our love grows. And I really believe that is one of the reasons today that our love is such at a low ebb for the Lord Jesus, is because our faith is in the same shape. You know, the Lord said in the book of Luke in chapter number 18, He said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith upon the earth? And I'm afraid that the faith of many are wobbling on the axle in the hour that we're living in. We're living in that hour of a great falling away. And many who claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ really don't possess at all what they say that they had. If they did, their faith would be in continuous exercise, and their love would be built upon that. In other words, they would love the Lord more today than they did yesterday.
Amen.
I can honestly say after 40 years, I love my wife a great deal more than I did when we first got married 40 years ago. And that's because our love has grown for one another. And we've learned about one another. We love one another. And that love is in exercise and it's growth. And I say on the authority of the Word of God that if you're here today and you just really possess a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only will your faith grow in the Lord, but your love will also grow for Him. Having not seen Him, yet we love Him. I've never laid eyes on the Lord, but I can testify to you today on the authority of that book. I can say I love Him, and I do because He first loved me. It's not that we love Christ, but God, Christ, but that Christ loved us. God loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so our faith and our love begins to grow with one another. It is not cold, and it's by the invisibility of its object. Listen carefully. Love is the tenderest and the most delicate, and yet it is the strongest and most overwhelming of all of our emotions. Having not seen Him, yet we love Him. Amen to God. That's right. And that love ought to be a growing, and that love is tender and delicate, but yet it is the strongest of our emotions. Did not Solomon say in the book of Solomon that love is strong as death? I'm telling you, there is no emotion that you have any stronger than love, ladies and gentlemen. Certainly, that is absolutely right. And love is greater than fear. For perfect love casteth out fear. I've known people that have had great bouts with fear. But I'm telling you that the perfect love that we have for Christ will cast out that fear within us. Also, listen carefully. Having not seen Him, yet we believe. That is, we have faith in the Lord Jesus. If we do not believe, listen carefully, in the existence of Christ in heaven, we shall not direct any affections to Him there. Certainly we have faith of our Lord Jesus and His existence in heaven. If in this life only we have faith or belief in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I say to you that His invisibility should not dampen our love or should not stifle our faith one bit. If we have faith in the existence of Christ in heaven and believe that He's coming back again, like that Bible says He's coming back again, our love ought to grow fonder rather than grow colder. I'm afraid many hearts have grown cold rather than growing fond, growing more and more in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. If we believe that we have it or have this love and this faith, then our life work ought to be to nourish it. If we really have saving faith in the Son of God, we ought to spend our life nourishing that faith. Feeding that faith. I have never seen such an hour. I've been saved for a few years and preaching a while, but I have never seen such an hour as we're living in our Baptist churches. Rather than our faith is seemingly growing and being nourished, it seems like that many folks are losing faith, and their love, instead of growing warmer, is growing colder for the Lord. Somebody said, "Preacher, it's just the hour that we live in." I want to remind you that Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And friend, I'll tell you, if He feels a long way off from you, guess who moved? He hadn't went anywhere. God hadn't went anywhere. Brother Steve said the other day that he heard Ed Paschal preaching on another radio station. He said he talked about Abraham having a seeking faith. And then 41 years later, he got saved and had a saving faith. Boy, I'll tell you, there's only one thing wrong with that. It just ain't true, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Thank God for saving faith.
Amen.
Hey, we ought to raise our faith to the highest degree and keep it in perpetual exercise. Thank God, having not seen Him yet, by the grace of God, we believe in Him. And I'm going to get to tell you why here in just a minute, if you'll hang with me. I want to say, thirdly, the Bible talks about our rejoicing. Now listen to me carefully. One Christian feeling glides into another and becomes part of it. Faith begins to have a glow in it, and lo, it is love. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith begins to glow, and we realize that it is a love that we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Faith begins to have a glow, and lo, it is love. And love begins to have a gladness, and to wear a glory about it, and lo, it is joy. And I want to say to you that God has given every Christian a portion of joy.
Amen.
There is 9 fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Now I'm here to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, if you've truly been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God, you may not have as much love, joy, and peace as somebody else, but there will be a portion of all of those 9 graces somewhere in exercise in your life. And I'm going to tell you, where we need to get to is to be full of the Spirit, and we'll be full of those 9 graces of God, and they'll overflow somewhere in our life. Amen. That's right. Would you like to come to the house of God with such a love about you and a glow on your face that it just flow over on somebody else? Would you like to come to church with enough joy in your heart that you just couldn't contain it, and it would flow over onto somebody else? Sure, if you're saved, I know you would. Amen, I know I would. Amen. That's right. Now, Brother Nolan says if you run with the dogs, you catch the fleas. So surely if you run with people who's got love, joy, and peace, amen, a little of that's bound to rub off on you after a while if you want it to rub off on you. Praise God. I think we need to enter into His courts with thanksgiving.
Yes,
in the house of God with praise.
Yes,
in whom, having not seen your love,
yes,
yet believing, because you believe, you rejoice,
yes,
with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Thank God, 3 graces. There's love, there's faith, and there's joy in that verse.
Yes.
And we have all of them, having never laid our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's not like an earthly love. A human love, I don't know too many men that ever fell in love with a woman before they ever seen her. That's right. You've got to see somebody in human love before you can love them. Before you can believe in them and rejoice in them. But not in this thing with Christ.
Amen.
Having not seen, you love.
Amen.
Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Somebody said, now preacher, how can this be? Well, listen very carefully. We love Christ because of His work.
Amen.
I cannot see Him, but I love Him because of His work. I have read the Bible, and it tells me about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just give me a minute and let me sidetrack, I'm about to blow a gasket on this thing that God showed me in the Sunday school hour this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn over there and read it for you where Brother Steve was at in the book of Ephesians. Now, you men, you've already heard it. Just bear with me. It won't hurt you to hear it again. In the book of Ephesians, and chapter number 2, Brother Steve spoke there verses 11, 12, and 13, where he said, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Brother Steve preached on five things there in verse number 12 about us being Gentiles, that we were uncircumcised, that we were aliens from the commonwealth and the covenants of Israel, that we had no hope in this world. That's three of those five things that he mentioned there. But he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you're made nigh. You that were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I asked the men this question, why now by the blood of Christ are we brought nigh? And back then we wasn't brought nigh. But if you can get a hold of it, it'll make you do a double back flip. I want you to hear, listen real careful now. I want to be up here on the platform where I can read this verse. I want to read it. That at that time, you were without Christ. We were uncircumcised. That's got a symbol to it. I'm not going into detail because there's a mixed multitude in here of ladies and children. But I'm telling you, circumcision in the Bible, to be uncircumcised in the Bible was almost an abomination. When Samson went down to Timnath to take his wife, his mom and daddy asked him, said, is there not any amongst the daughters of your people that you can have, that you've got to go amongst these uncircumcised Philistines? I wonder why he added that adjective in there, uncircumcised. Why did he just say Philistine? He said uncircumcised Philistine because I'm telling you that being uncircumcised puts you outside of the covenants of God, outside the commonwealth of Israel, and made you without God and without hope, and it was almost an abomination to be living there. But now when I ask you, what did Christ die change all that? I'm going to tell you why. Because at that time, Gentiles, the Jews had a high priest. And those Jews, when they had sinned, they'd bring that sacrifice to that priest. And that priest would offer that sacrifice, have them to put their hands on the head of that sacrifice, symbolizing that their sin they had committed was laid upon that sacrifice. Now, Israel done that. I want you to get a hold of this now. And I'm going to tell you what, if a Gentile ever come down there, you know what that priest would say? Beat it, bud. You got no right here. This is a Jewish ceremony.
Amen.
Give them to the Jews, but I've sinned. Beat it.
Amen.
You have no right here. You're a Gentile. You're not included in the covenants of promise. You're not in the commonwealth of Israel. You are without God and you are without hope in this world. And that high priest would never receive a Gentile. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus died, it made a difference. Now this ain't very big, but if you get a hold of it, it'll help you. Why, when Christ died, were we made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus? Why then could we come to Christ? I'm going to tell you why. He was the last sacrifice. He was the last sacrifice. And the old priesthood was done away with. He became our high priest. And you don't have to go to a man anymore. Basically, it was man that had the Gentiles shut out. Oh, but when Christ died, we're not going down there and offering a little sacrifice. Our sacrifice died, and now it's all by faith in us Gentiles. Thank God. Hallelujah. I could about run my head through a wall. I didn't have any hope in the world. But when Christ died, thank God, he opened up a floodgate. I don't have to go to any earthly high priest. I've got a high priest chamber in heaven that I can go to this morning. Thanks be unto God. And my health been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I hurt my arm. Why did I do that? God help me. Better get a drink. Amen. Now listen carefully. The love of Christ, we love Christ because of His work.
Amen.
Amen. Now you say, what work? I may not get any further than this point. His work on the cross.
Amen.
To begin with, His work on the cross. Amen. I read just last night, or not before last one, I forget what writer it was said it. But he said, the cross ought to be the theme that flowed from the heart of every God-called preacher.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you we're a long way from it.
Amen.
I go to a whole lot of Baptist camp meetings, and I'm going to tell you right now, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, very seldom do you ever hear anything preached on these two things. But every time you go now, some preacher will get up and say, boys, I'm telling you, ain't much preaching on hell anymore. Ought to be preaching on hell. Well, I'll agree, there ain't much preaching on hell anymore, but I'm going to tell you as equally, there's not much preaching on the cross of the Lord Jesus anymore. Praise God, it's a forgotten Bible doctrine. Amen. I'm telling you, we have forgotten that it's His work on the cross that kept us out of hell, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. I can love Him because of His work on the cross. Can you see Him now up Calvary's mountain? One dreadful morn, carrying the cross upon His shoulders and yielding His life and giving His life blood a ransom for all sinners, and by Him all may come unto God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I might have a few more of these afternoon services. I'll just get y'all loosened up a little bit. Y'all ain't wanting to get home to the Super Bowl. No, I'm looking for my hanky. I guess I swallowed the thing. Huh? I hope you ain't wanting to get on the... That done a survey I heard on the Maddie program the other day. We're taking a survey of who thought it would be all right and who thought it was against showing the Super Bowl in the church house. I wasn't where I could call in, but I said, I say no! Somebody else would ring the phone. I said, I say no.
Amen.
Praise God's people. And God help people that will stay home to watch the stinking thing.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. But I'm telling you, it is a sin unto God. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It is a sin unto God when people have got more love for a stupid football game than what Christians have got for the Lord Jesus anymore. Can't hardly get a holy grunt out of folks. They sit and pick their nose and flip boogers and everything else. And can't hardly get a holy grunt out of anybody. Can't hardly get a smile out of nobody. What on heaven's name is wrong? Praise God, in whom heaven not seen you love. He didn't say you might love Him, folks. If you don't love Him, maybe an indication you never have loved Him.
Amen.
I know it's right. We're not on the air, so praise God, I don't have to worry about somebody out there hearing me cussing me out. The cross. The cross. What about His sacrifice on the cross? Hebrews 9:25-26, you've heard this before. He said, nor yet He should offer Himself often as a high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now get this. Somebody said, when's the end of the world coming? It's already here.
Amen.
That verse of Scripture says, but now, but once in the end of the world.
Amen.
So at the end of the world has been here for 2,000 years.
Amen.
Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, it couldn't possibly be. 1,000 years with the Lord's a day, and a day is 1,000 years.
Amen.
It ain't been, with Him, it ain't been but 2 days since He died. Come on in the house now. He said, in the end of the world hath He appeared, get this, to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Why do I love Him? Because of the work on the cross. Get this, He put away sin. Praise God, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember it no more.
It's done and gone. That day you knelt at an old-fashioned altar and called upon the name of the Lord and realized that Christ's work on the cross, that He put away your sin once and for all. You can get up and say, I've never seen you, Lord, but I sure do love you. Somebody said, how do I know it happened? You know by the work, not only on the cross, but the work that He done in your heart. Hallelujah to God when it happened. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. That's right. Well, you tell me why we can't love Him. He put away our sin.
Amen.
You realize what the penalty of sin is? It's hell. He delivered us from the penalty of sin.
Amen.
We can't get stirred up about it no more.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
What is our problem?
Amen.
He put away our sin. Hey,
amen.
The weight of all my sin was upon me. Oh, but when Jesus stepped in,
amen,
praise God, He stepped in and balanced things out. Hallelujah to God. And now I'm justified. Amen. Justified. Pardoned. Forgiven. Under the blood. Gone. Put away. Somebody said, where are they at? Well, we can say they're in the depths of the sea. We can say God cast them as far as the east is from the west. Put them behind His back. All that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't know where they are. Neither does He. He said their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He put them away. He don't know where they are. And I really don't want to know where they are.
Amen.
And the devil don't know where they are.
Amen.
If he did, he'd drag them out.
Amen.
You got enough memories, he drags out on you anyway. Without dragging your sin out. He may drag out the memory of your sin, but he can't drag out the sin. And there is a big difference in your sin and the memory of your sin. I remember a whole lot of sins. But praise God, the sin itself is under the blood.
Amen.
Put away, gone. Hallelujah. By the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Stay right with me. By His suffering on the cross.
Amen.
See, in 1 Peter, He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker, get this, of the glory that shall be revealed. Woo!
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. Oh, brother, Peter said, I'm a witness of the sufferings of the cross of the Son of God. Not much preaching on suffering of Christ anymore either. How He suffered and bled and died. How His visage was marred more than any man. They took a cat of nine tails and beat His insides out with it.
Amen.
Crowned Him with a crown of thorns. Pulled His hair. I'm going to tell you why His visage was marred. And you can tell them fellas this. And I, like I said last week, I'm not crazy about beards. But I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you why they couldn't see. They couldn't tell what He looked like. They pulled the hair of His face out. And buddy, you grab one of these men in here that's got a beard and start pulling the hair of it out, you're going bound to bring him meat and all that with it. I'll guarantee you on that, buddy. His visage was marred more than any man.
Amen.
He suffered. And old brother Peter said, I was a witness to those sufferings. But he said, I'm also a witness of the glory that shall be revealed. You know why? He remembered Matthew 17 when the Lord took him up on that mountain. Peter, James, and John were transfigured before him, and he became as white as snow, his garments glistening and white as snow. I'm going to tell you, he was transfigured into a glorified Christ right before the eyes of those men. Oh, Peter said, I've seen Him suffer, but I've also seen the glory. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it may be a little suffering time now, but praise God, hold on, glory time is on the way. What was it, Cleet used to have, the Glory Land Road or something like that?
Amen.
Hurry on, Brother Cleet. Hurry up, Brother Cleet. I said, get out, Brother Cleet. He said, hurry up, Brother Cleet. Hurry on, Brother Cleet. I said, hit the road, Brother Cleet. And I found out he was living with a woman. His wife was in a nursing home.
I hurried him on fast. I know that's a fact because a shack-up job called me and told me so. He said, why don't you play Brother Cleet's messages? I said, because he left his wife. And I said, there ain't but one reason in the Bible for a man and woman to be separated. That's for fasting and prayer. She said, that's why they are separated. Said, Cleet wanted to fast and pray, and she didn't. I said, what's he fasting and praying with you? He said, you just trying to be a smart aleck. I said, no, ma'am. I just don't believe in whores and whoremongers.
Amen.
You die that way, you ain't going to glory, I can tell you that.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Come on in the house now. The glory that should follow. Then he satisfies his work in satisfying the Father's holiness. Isaiah 53:11, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied.
Amen.
Do you realize that what Christ did satisfied the righteous demands of God?
Amen.
That, and when he satisfied him by one man,
amen,
death entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. But wherefore, by one man's obedience, many were made righteous.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. One man sin entered. One man many are made righteous. I'm just here to tell you that he's satisfied. Brother, and we ought to strive to be obedient. I don't want to give you a crutch to hobble around on in sin. If you can continue to live in sin and know it and know you in sin, I don't believe you're saved. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to heaven on my obedience. I'm going to heaven on his obedience.
Amen.
Amen. By one man.
Amen.
And his name was Christ. He was obedient in everything that he done. Hey, he fulfilled the law, all of it. Even the ceremonial law, he fulfilled her to the hilt. Hallelujah to God. Woo! Make a dead man get happy. I'm going to say, y'all help us out a little bit this morning. We'd go to meeting in here. I'm ready to go to meeting if you are. I guess you ain't ready to go to meeting. Now, I want to say, secondly, his work, and I want to get through this real quick. His work on the cross. We love him because of that.
Amen.
Then secondly, his work in the Christian. We love him because of that. Thessalonians said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And then Brother Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonderful thing? That my soul, body, and spirit will... Now that right there ought to put that Jesus only crowd in the hole right there. If I am body, soul, and spirit, they don't think he can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Bible said that he had preserved, sanctify our whole body, soul, and spirit. You realize what it means for our body to be sanctified? I'm telling you, when you look at your body, you're looking at one of the most sinful things in this world is your body. But the Bible said that he's going to sanctify your body. He's going to sanctify the soul and the spirit that cannot be seen and preserve it unto his heavenly kingdom. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said, how can that be? I don't know. Ask Job. Job said that though the skin worms eat up this body, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. Job had enough faith in God that if the skin worms totally ate up his whole body and flesh and left nothing, he said, in that flesh, I'm going to see God. Won't that be a wonderful day? When these old bodies will be transformed. The soul and the spirit will be made perfect.
Amen.
Halamashande Gada Yarmahama. Tell me. Bow tie or something like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I want to spend a little bit of time on this, and then we'll try to rush through the other two. The other two points, just a brief little thing I want to mention, and we're going to the house. But we love him because of his work on the cross.
Amen.
We love him because of his work in the Christian. This is going to flabbergast some of you, and I don't know if I got the grace to preach it or not, but I'm going to try. We love him because of his work in the church.
Amen.
I think some people got the idea that he's done departed. That he's done with the church. Now, I'm not Brother Smith, and I've not done all the study on this that Brother Wayne has. But I picked out a few points I think is very interesting. I've likened the church, and I think that we can because it's God's dwelling place today.
Amen.
To the tabernacle. Those things in the tabernacle. You believe that God, that Christ, was there around that tabernacle?
Amen.
I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Every piece in that tabernacle, practically all of them, in typology, refer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the badger skins dyed red are in typology referring to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
The sockets of silver referring to the Lord Jesus. Everything about it. All the furniture. Everything in it. He is the tabernacle. And guess what?
Amen.
Guess where we're living? In the tabernacle. Amen. Guess where he's living? In the tabernacle.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Stay right with me and get a hold of something here. In the church. What was at that tabernacle? Well, I mentioned five or six things. First of all, there was a laver. That laver was made of brass. Now, come on now. I love him for his work in the church. And I'm hoping God will do this in this next meeting. And if he does, it will cause some of you to blush. But brass in the Bible is a type of judgment.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, he is a type of that laver made of brass. And ladies and gentlemen, you mark her down. He is in the church today to judge in the house of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it'd pay all of us in here to get on an altar today. And it's been as quiet and dead, my
Amen.
God, I've never seen anything like it in the last I don't know how long. And I'm going to tell you what the problem is. There's sin in the camp somewhere. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if there ain't sin in a whole lot of places in the camp. Everywhere. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes into his church, he is coming to that labor of judgment the very first thing. He is going to judge his people. The judgment must begin at the house of God. Where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? Now I'm telling you, he judges more than whoremongers and thieves and drunks and dancers and revelers too, buddy. He judges bitter spirits. He judges apathy. Come on. He judges critical spirits. He judges laziness. He judges sour apples.
Amen.
Brother, when he comes, reading the book of the Revelation, he comes with eyes like fire and feet like brass. And those eyes of fire will look right through your religion to where you are. And those feet of brass will try the sin that is in each of our lives.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. That's why we may not have him around here anymore. We may be afraid of him.
Amen.
Why are you afraid of God? Somebody said, I don't want God to know what all's wrong with me. He already knows.
Amen.
The best thing to do is to examine ourselves and judge ourselves that we be not judged of God.
Amen.
And we won't have to worry about that.
Amen.
We was talking last night about taking communion. Jacob said, you realize we hadn't had communion no more in 2 years, at least 2 years? I said, I'm afraid to give it. Brother Steve said, you mean taking it unworthily? Well, I don't believe that taking it unworthily has got anything to do with sin in her life. I think taking it unworthily is like they done up my, wanted to do it my brother's church up in Indiana, wanted the children to give communion. That'd be unworthy. You don't treat the communion dish of the Lord, that bread and that grape juice that way, that wine. Oh, no. You don't take, hey, you don't let little kids run up after the service and drink out of the cups and things. That's sacred, buddy. I'm going to tell you something. And our forefathers put a whole lot more emphasis on that communion table than what we do today.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you what we better not do. You better not put your hand in that dish with known sin in your life. For this reason, many of you are sickly and many are dead.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Hang in there with me.
Amen.
Got any sin in your life?
Amen.
God may be coming to judge next week after next. He may be on the way. Mark it down. He will judge His children.
Amen.
And it may not always be on Friday, but God will come and judge His youngins.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, if you get it right with God, He'll keep it under the blood. But if you let Him judge it, I'm going to tell you what He'll do. He'll make her known to everybody just like He did David's sin. Buddy, He'll reveal it openly.
Amen.
Come on in the house now. Stay right with me. That laver was made of brass for judgment. It was full of water and placed between the altar and the tabernacle. And the priests were to wash their hands and feet prior to entering into that outer court.
Amen.
I want to ask you something. Do you wash your hands and feet before you come to church today? Do you get in the laver? You get a hold of Jesus and get in that Bible and wash your hands and your feet. Hey, it ain't no wonder God don't show up.
Amen.
If we're not willing, ladies and gentlemen, to get in that Bible and cleanse ourselves, we're washed by the cleansing of the Word of God. And if we're not willing to get in that Bible and wash ourselves at the labor,
Amen.
Don't nobody leave you. I preach my lungs out on that, but I want to move this next thought on that labor. I believe I got another thought on it. It was made from the looking glasses of the women. And their looking glasses was made out of brass, shiny brass. And that when a man or a woman walked up to that labor and looked, and that priest walked up that labor and looked in it, he saw himself. And he washed in it. I'm going to tell you why a lot of folks don't read the Bible. They see themselves in there. They come to that labor and they're scared to death of it. Afraid they'll see something in their life that they'll have to give up. Praise God, I'm telling you, we ought to want to give it all up. Whom heaven not seen, we love. Why? Because of the work that He does on the cross. And the work that He does on the Christian. And the work that He does in the church. I've got news for you. He's still in this church. And some of you don't believe that. I ain't ready to put Ichabod out on the door yet. Just because some of you have got lazier and whelps and won't do what you're told to do. I'll try to get some of you to play instruments and things and you won't do that. So on and so forth. Hey!
Amen.
I don't mean God ain't here. I'm going to let Him take care of it.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. The table of showbread was in there. There were 12 cakes in two rolls. One cake for each tribe in Israel. Now, that was enough for all of them. I'm telling you, God, come on now. Come on, some of you start to frown. I'm telling you, God will give enough bread for everybody.
Amen.
He will, church. In the house of God. Oh, the work that He's doing in the church.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I sat right there this morning, and it may not have been much to you, but I'm telling you, it was beyond the crumb for Brother Hall.
Amen.
When I saw that, I said, glory to God, hallelujah. That'd be hard to explain, but I know how I got it in my heart. I know that it's there, that a Gentile could not come and make a sacrifice for his sins, but when, because he was shut out, because of the covenant, because of the promises, because of being uncircumcised. Oh, but when Christ died on the cross, you don't have to come down there no more. It's all by faith in Him, ladies and gentlemen. Praise God, and I'm going to tell you, I got more than a crumb.
Amen.
I got a loaf. Now listen carefully. Listen carefully. They put out 12 loaves. Get a hold of this. Guess when they done that? every Sabbath. Every Sabbath day, the high priest went in there and put those 12 cakes out on that table of showbread, 6 in a row. 12 cakes every Sabbath. What do you think that means to you and me today? I believe it means that every Sunday, Jesus is here. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I ain't seen him here in a while. Have you looked?
Yeah.
You think he'd forsake the flock of his love? Do you think he would desert the apple of his eye? Do you think he'd desert his little ones, his redeemed ones, his little born-again ones, his children? Would you forsake one of your youngins? God forbid that as a mom or a daddy you'd forsake one of yours. What makes you think Christ will forsake his? Every Sunday morning, he comes in, puts the bread on the table.
Amen.
And it's up to you, folks, whether you want to make a swing by the table. And get your loaf, or if you're willing to sit where you are, lock up the door of your heart, and let your loaf canker.
Amen.
And let the worms eat it, like they did the manna.
Amen.
That they took and never used. May God help us. Is anybody here spiritual enough to get a hold of what I'm preaching on this morning? I want you, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I want everybody to listen to me. We're not on the air, and I want everybody to be listening to me. You realize that Jesus made the Jews go outside the camp and use the bathroom and dig a hole and bury it?
Amen.
He said, because the Lord thy God walketh in the camp.
Amen.
And you better do that lest I defile myself in there.
Amen.
Are you listening to what He walked in the camp. He walked in the tabernacle. And buddy, he is in the church today of the living God. We can praise him. We can love him for the work that he's doing in the church.
Yes,
now, I might have one more on that showbread. I'm not sure. Oh, it's placed there. Then there was a golden candlestick. And I'm not going into the details on it. I'm just going to give you what God gave me. It had pure olive oil in it. And it was there to give light.
Amen.
Christ give light.
Yeah.
Christ, the light of the world.
Amen.
Christ given light. I want to ask you this. How many times have you come to the house of God and the Lord's shed light on your sin? You wouldn't get it right.
Amen.
How many times have they come and showed some of you were lost and you wouldn't get it right?
Amen.
How many times have they showed some of you that there's sin there? God forbid if any of us would be locked back up with that stinking country music and rock and roll music and all that mess. God help us. I won't say this. I said it up there and I'll say it again here. Everybody listen carefully. I know preachers that used to have on their camp meeting doors, Brother Steve, no camcorders allowed, no cell phones allowed, no this allowed, no this allowed, no nothing allowed. I'm talking about a list that long. And I saw their children at Brother Shepherd's walking around with cell phones that sent text messages, that sent pictures, and you could get on the internet with it. And those preachers preach against the internet and everything else. And I told him about it.
Amen.
And one of the young men left there, matter, as my mom and daddy used to say, as an old wet hornet.
Amen.
You know what they've done? They've compromised. I told him about it. I said, you've compromised.
Amen.
You said you wouldn't have a cell phone in your camp meeting. Now your youngins walk around. And I said, some of you don't even know it. They can take pictures with some of them things, get on the internet, send text messages and everything else. You know there's a battle going on now about whether they ought to have them in public schools or not. The teachers are saying they can send text messages on them and send answers to other students and everything else. Or if they want to, all they got to do is write down the answers at home, take a picture of it on their cell phone, flip or shut, and come on in, open up the cell phone, write down the answers when they get to school for the test they're going to have. Some of you might be shocked if you knew the pictures your kids were sending on their telephone.
and the text messages that's sending on them. They wouldn't, we ain't letting our kids get a driver's license till they get 18. Now some of them got driver's license at 16 and cell phones and everything else. Come on now. I know this may not be running too well with you, but I'm just simply saying how many times has a candlestick walked up and shone light on your sin and you would not get a right? How many times has a candlestick come up and shown a little bit of light on your sorrow? Some of y'all in here this morning look like you've been sucking on grapes. It's your alum bag, sour lemons and pickles and everything else. Is it me, the message, or are you just, is it me? Is it the messages I preach? Or are you just tired of hearing my little cliches? Or are you just kind of tired of church? Or are you just kind of backslidden on God?
Amen.
Sorrow. I'm talking about facing sun like a Missouri Mew. Eating sour bars. Somebody said, Brother Hall, you ain't making me very happy. If you was right with God, you'd be happy.
Amen.
And some of you in here is a sad. My daddy used to call that guy on the funny paper sad sack. Some of y'all look like sad sack. What about shining a little bit of light on your scorning? What about shining a little bit of light on your secrets? Oh, nobody knows my little secret. I'll tell you, somebody does know your little secret, friend. Amen. Knows everything about you. What about shining light on your service? Well, we just ain't going to come to that meeting next week. And we ain't coming on Saturday, that's for sure. And we ain't going to bring no food. We ain't going to be there. God knows. And I'm telling you, God will shine a light on that mess.
Amen.
Better believe He will. Now, I got to hurry. Some of you's already left me. And by the way, that candle was to burn continually.
Amen.
It was never to go out. What about the altar of incense? There was an altar of incense. That incense was burned continually. You know what that's a type of? That's a type of Jesus praying. You realize that every Sunday morning, somewhere in the house of God, Jesus is praying for you.
Amen.
Oh, thank God I can turn over and read John 17 and read His prayer for His people. But I'm going to tell you, when I got a hold of that, at every Sunday morning, every time we come to the house of God, Jesus comes with us and He starts praying for us.
Amen.
Why would we want to disappoint His prayers?
Amen.
I wouldn't want to.
Amen.
And that ought to be an encouragement to know, hey, you may not have somebody praying for you, but I'm telling you, Jesus is praying for you.
Amen.
Praise God. He's our great high priest.
Amen.
He offers up prayers. And by the way, He's never been turned down by the Father.
Amen.
Not one time. Not one prayer has God ever denied the Son. Not one. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. And don't nobody fall out with me over this. But when Jesus said, Father, I want Jerome Val Robards, the Father said, go get him.
Amen.
When God said, I want Ruth back, when the Son said, I want Ruth back, the Father said, go get her.
Amen.
It's yours. He has never turned down a prayer. That Jesus ever. Oh, thank God we can pray. But what an encouragement to my heart to know that every time I come, when I come to that pulpit, I'm going to tell you, we sing that old song, somebody prayed for me. Yeah, and I know who it was.
Amen.
They got down on their knees. He don't even have to get down on his knee. Come on now. Hallelujah. Now get a hold of this and I'll go on and we'll be done in just a minute. What about the veil and the ark? He's both of them also.
And he is there every, he was here every Sunday. That the veil was the way into the Holy of Holies. And he is here every Sunday.
Amen.
To open up the way for you to get to God. Can you get a hold of that? Somebody said, well, God didn't show up tonight. God shows up every night. He may just not show up the way we want Him to, and our hearts may be so far from Him that we can't perceive Him. But God shows up every night, every service. God shows up, and He opens up the veil, and He said, there's a way into that Holy of Holies. Help yourself. Get in there in the presence of God. Now, the ark represents the glory of God, and the mercy seat that was back there also represents forgiveness.
Amen.
Now I stress one more time that He opens up the veil and says, you can get to the mercy seat and find forgiveness. There's mercy with the Lord.
Amen.
You can get behind the veil to the ark where the glory, the Shekinah glory of God settled down between those cherubim. Every Sunday.
Amen.
I believe that. I used to not quite understand it, but I believe I got a hold of it now.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. We love Him because of His work. We believe Him because of His witness.
Amen.
He's witnessed us of the Father, of the future, and of our fashioning. He's conforming us to the image of Christ. And I'm closing with this. We rejoice over Him because of His wine. You've all read that little story in John chapter number 2. It said in verse 10, it said, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine when men have well drank, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. What's that verse say now? Having not seen Him, we love Him. Yet, and believing, we rejoice.
Amen.
With what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, folks. One of these days, it's going to be joy unspeakable.
Amen.
And full of glory. I love Him because, hey, that good joy. Thank God.
Amen.
We ought to be able to rejoice now. And I'm going to tell you, that He's coming today and we're going to dance on the hills of glory.
Amen.
We're going to shout the victory, sure enough. Having not seen, you love. Yet believing, you rejoice. Having faith in Him, you rejoice. With joy unspeakable. And full of glory.
Amen.
You love Him today? Got faith in Him today?
Amen.
Have you rejoiced over Him today? Let's stand together.